Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. It is now the 8 o'clock hour. Time for Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. As always, it's a privilege and honor to be used by God, that he allowed me to go before his people with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I thank you guys for coming and joining together in fellowship, the body of Christ. Our title tonight is A Man's Ability Does Not Guarantee Outcome. A man's ability guarantee the outcome. And we're going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, the entire chapter. Well, almost the entire chapter. And I pray that you had time to read the chapter. God has allowed us to come together one more time. And for that, I have to give him the praise, honor, and glory. And at this time, I'm going to play a song that I think ties in with the lesson, because this world has a way of living by its standards, and many people are joining in. But we come to tell you tonight, and if I use the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, it lets us know that we have to just keep pressing towards the mark. And no matter how it seems, to not to give up. And the title of the song is Don't Quit. I'm going to play this, and then we're coming back, and our dear sister is going to bring us to God's throne of grace. So listen to the song, and we'll be back. Thank you.
Listen. The economy's down. Price has seemed so high. Seems like all I ever do is try and try, yeah. Trying to make ends meet. Trying to pull myself above so I can see. But every now and then it seems so helpless, hopeless. But I'm a living, breathing testimony of what God can do. If you hold on long enough, he will see you through. Encourage you, whatever you do,
whatever you do,
just don't. Check this out. I've got my own set of challenges, yeah. And my friendships sometimes they wear a little thin. I even began to wonder if my own family is out or in. I'm trying to make sense of my life. I'm trying to overcome all that's not right, yeah. But sometimes, you know, it seems so helpless. Oh, even when things don't go your way, you gotta hold on to your faith. Oh, just remember that you're not.
Made to be defeated.
Hallelujah, away from your breakthrough, don't quit. You won thank you, Jesus, away from your promotion, don't quit. You won glory to God away from your next level, don't quit. You won bless your holy name away from God blowing your mind.
Hallelujah. When I thought of that song, it was so appropriate for tonight. Because in a sense, Solomon, way back then, was letting us know that life happens to everybody. And because we are a child of God, no matter what's going on, no matter what we are facing, no matter how many hills we have to climb, no matter how much the leaders are leaning to their own understanding and certain things in the world is just happening, and murders and hunger and wars and violence is all over the land. Solomon is telling us and talking to us tonight that everything is by time and chance. So we're going to see Solomon, because I'm going to use him for the background, and then we're going to expound on the words that he gave us in the ninth chapter. But before then, we have to get Sister Pam on the line, because we have to give God the praise, honor, and glory for what he's going to do on tonight. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, everybody. I'll be reading the prayer list for the first Wednesday in February, the 7th, 2024. Elena Banks, Paula Anthony, Lakita Anthony, Alex Moore, Mecca, Cameron Olafant, Jarius McClendon, Micah Lewis, Isaiah Mensah and family, Saria Chung, Jalen Dawson, Almeida Taylor, Sister Geraldine Jones, Sister Galatian Daniels, Brother and Sister Charles Harris, Charlie Harris, Carla Williams, Pastor Willie Moulton, Yvonne Richardson, Karen Lewis, Glenn Butler, Maddie Trotter, Nelson Johnson, Denario Achilles, Brother Corey, Minister Paula Cloud, Sandra Oliver and family, Michael and Ashley, Jace and Gina, Katina Orlando, Maddie Bernardo, Minister Diane Adams and family, Brother KJ, Hades, Sister Mary Jo Pope, Barbara, Jada Porter, Latasha Harlan, Linda Howard, Angel Taylor, Xavier Williams, Roger LaCave, John McGee, Roderick McGee, Diane McBride and family, David Webb, Lawrence Gordon and family, Juanita Stills, Melton McKenzie, and Barbara Grandson. Heavenly Father, we come on this night on one accord to lift up the names of our brothers and sisters on our prayer list. Father God, we place all of their worries, all of their anxieties, all of their sicknesses and their weaknesses onto your care. Lord, we know that you can cause the impossible to become possible. You cause the lame to walk and the blind to see. Lord, whatever they may be standing in the need of, Lord, we pray that you supply their every need. Father God, I ask that you turn their pains into joy. Give them strength, Lord Jesus, where they may be weak. Father God, I humbly ask that you grant them wisdom and knowledge to know that whatever you do for us, you do it because you love us that much. Thank you, Lord Father God, for our Bible study. Thank you for everybody that's listening in on tonight. Father God, we thank you for our sister, our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Lord, continue to bless her in ways only you can. Lord, keep her in a perfect peace. We thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. There's no number high enough to count all of your blessings. I give thanks and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
Some may think that some of the names have been on the list for so long. But I want you to know in the world that we live in, it's a blessing. And God has given us an opportunity to always be able to call out the name of those in need. And I don't know about the other people on the list, but I know when my name was called out, I said, thank you, Jesus, because I still need God to work situations out in my life and in my family's life. And if anyone would like to add a name to the list, you could press the one button on your phone and we'll take the name and it would be added. And if anyone gave someone name to the prayer list and they don't feel like their name, you know, has to remain, let us know and we'll take it off. So if anyone would like to add any name to the prayer list, you can do so at this time. Press the one button on your phone and I'll open your mic and you could give us the name. Well, we're just going to go on in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, tonight our lesson is coming out of the book of Ecclesiastic, the 9th chapter. And those that got the message in time, I ask that you read the whole chapter. And I suggested and knew it would take really less than 5 minutes, but I say it 10 minutes out of your schedule to read it and you would have came here and
you'd have been a little more familiar with what we're saying. But as we've been doing in the last week, using the intro to talk about a person, a place, or a thing, and the acts that I speak on, the characters of the Bible. And I've been picking a character, and if it's a writer of the one of the books, I use a chapter, a part of the chapter to show you, after hearing about this person, to understand why God chose them to be the writer of that chapter of book. So tonight we're going to listen a little bit about Solomon. And I guess I should say King Solomon. I want you to know that Solomon was the third and last king of the United Kingdom of Israel, following Saul and David. Now, we know that that wasn't the only three people was kings in the kingdom. But after Solomon reigned, the kingdom was divided. The kingdom of Israel was divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and Judah, 10 tribes. I'm talking about the children of Israel. I'm talking about the promised people of God. I'm talking about the people that God walked with, that God held on to and did all the provision for them and delivered them. I'm talking about that kingdom. And even in that solid one kingdom, discord happened and the kingdom was divided. 10 went to the northern kingdom and 2 tribes went to the southern kingdom. But when it was united as one kingdom, Saul, David, and Solomon. And when Solomon was off of his throne and died, the kingdom was divided. Now, I don't want to jump above myself, but since I gave this background on the kingdom, we're going to see that Solomon, even though he was the wisest man to ever live, did foolish things. And one of the things that Solomon did that caused the kingdom to be divided, you see, Solomon walked after God. And then he began to, in a sense, lean to his own understanding. And God was displeased with Solomon. And God told him, because of what you did, the kingdom's going to be divided. He said, but you see your father, David, he was a man after my own heart. He said, I'm not going to do it while you're living because of David. But once you die, I'm going to divide the kingdom. So I put that in right then to make it make sense, because the kingdom was divided after Solomon's death. Solomon did some bad things, and we're going to get to that. You see, Solomon is the son of David. David is his father. Bathsheba is his mother. And every time, and most of the time you read in the Bible when they talk about Bathsheba, they're going to always say the former wife of Uriah, the Hittite, whom David had killed to hide his adultery with Bathsheba while her husband was on the battlefront. You see, y'all may know the story, and for those who don't, David committed adultery with Bathsheba. She got pregnant. And he tried to cover it up so they wouldn't know it was him. He ordered that her husband would be placed on the front line on the battlefield because it was just about guaranteed that he would die. But before he did that, he didn't want to go so drastic. So when the men had came in from war, David called Uriah and told Uriah, go home before you go to the next battle. Be with your wife. I'm talking about cover up, y'all. And I'm not talking 2020. I'm talking in the Old Testament. David wanted Uriah to go home and lay with his wife. And I guess he was hopeful that she may have got pregnant. But even if she didn't, the time frame would kind of match up. Come on, y'all. How many people do that today? That's why they had to come out with DNA tests. Because you count the time, and he was going to pass that baby on as Uriah. And probably still have a relationship with Bathsheba because he wanted her. And he was the king. But he could have passed that on as Uriah's baby. And he would have been all right with that. But Uriah decided not to go home. You see, because he was a man of humility and he had a humble spirit upon him. And he said, how can my men sleep up here and then go to battle tomorrow and I'm going to go in the house and lay with my wife and enjoy myself? He said, I'm not going to do it. Uriah could have gone and be with his wife. He slept with the men. So that had backfired on David. Come on, y'all. David had to come up with another plot of Solomon's father and his mother. So that's when David demanded that he be on the front line on the battlefield. Just a little background. You see, Solomon wrote the Song of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, and not all, but some of the book of Proverbs. You see, Solomon wasn't looking for God, but God came looking for Solomon. And he wanted Solomon to become king on the throne. Now, I want you to know this, too. See, I'm talking about the sovereignty of God. How God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. You know, usually back then, the firstborn is next in line to take over. Was not David's old son. I want to let y'all know that when you see some of the discourse going on between his brothers, you could understand why. That's just like Esau and Israel. Same thing. He sold his birthright. And there was a lot of discourse. But Solomon was not the oldest son, but he sat on the throne because God had said so. Told by God that he would reign as the king. And Solomon told God, the scripture really says that I am nothing but a boy. But we track the record and track the history. It appeared that Solomon at that time wasn't young like a little boy's age or a teenager. It wasn't that he was so young, but Solomon was expressing his ability to rule well and unselfishly asked God for wisdom. You see, God told Solomon, you can ask for whatever you want, and it will be yours. Solomon told God that he wanted wisdom so that he would rule God's people justly. That's pretty cool. That's humble, right? You know, some people would say it. God answered Solomon's prayer and made him wise, powerful, rich, and influential. He made Israel. Hallelujah. God said, because you only asked for that, if we look at 1 Kings 3:13, saying, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be not any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. and 14 said, and if thou wilt walk, watch this, if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and commandments, as thy father David did walk. Now you see how God is, y'all. We know David had some problems. Look what he said. If you walk like your father did, if God had forgiven David for the things that he's done, he don't bring it up. He just said, if you walk as your father, but don't do errors like your father, and don't do it like your father. He said, as thy father David still did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live. And yet, he did foolish things. That tell us that in the Bible say all fall short of the glory of God, we can believe it, not give an excuse for the things we do. But it's almost like humans in their deprived state, wrapped in flesh, sin dwells, they're going to have shortcomings. Solomon had it all in his heart's desire. Some of the failures of Solomon had a place where you worship. And they used to go to what they call high places and worship. And God told him he didn't want them going there anymore. And Solomon would go there. Besides that, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And in those days, you knew they could have more than one wife, how many they could afford. But if you visit the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy, I even put a limit on that. And he exceeded the limit beyond number. That was the case. God also said he didn't want the king going and getting gold and silver and silver and gold and more gold and silver because he could get the big head. He got way over what God said you could handle. Then he began to marry foreign women. I have to say it to stick with your own kind. And in our lifetime, especially during slavery, after slavery, and problems still with it now. But white and black marry. Back then they used the scripture where God said, marry your own kind. And that's what they used to justify themselves with lynching a black man if he looked at a white woman. God forbid if they got married, they couldn't stay in the place they were staying. And they had to hide and duck. I told Solomon not to marry and women. See, God made man, and God knows man. And God knew that a woman could change a man's mind. He knew it. You see, and what God had told him not to do, he came back on him. Because when he started marrying all these foreign women, they were worshiping their foreign god. They worshiping their god. As the time went on, Solomon allowed them to bring them in the temple. Come on, y'all. Not many questions, and it's not said that Solomon started worshiping the idol gods as well. But I tell you, he didn't stop it. God was upset about that, and that was the reason God said he would divide the nations as well, because of his action. Solomon did that. You see, Solomon had wealth beyond measure. Than man in his time or ours. He had women, palaces, gardens. That was the envy of all nations. All nations came to Solomon. even though Solomon was rich as he was, a nation would come to this him speak to be in his company, and they brought gifts. Y'all look it up to see how much Bathsheba brought to Solomon when she came to speak in wisdom. He had the best food and the wine and every form of entertainment that was available. He said at one point that anything his heart wanted, he pursued. Yet, now listen at this. This is where we get into the meat. Yet he summed up life under the sun as though life lived as though all there is to life is what we can see with our eyes and experience with our senses. He said that's the way it was. He found out that it was meaningless. We can apply that to ourselves. These people in high places that want you to believe a lie is the truth and not giving us out of concern for the people that they placed in our office to rule. They're seeking, first of all, they have greed, and they're seeking power for someone who has more than these little things could even imagine. You know what I'm saying? And he was the king. These politicians and all of these people, you know, who's in charge, what they're doing. They couldn't even compare Solomon's wisdom. They couldn't compare to what he had. They couldn't compare to his power. And yet Solomon said that is all meaningless. He pondered and pondered to understand why there was such a fight in his life. We often see that the richest person is not the happiest person. They may walk around saying it until they make it, and it may seem that they live in the best life. Last year, before last, so many actors had reached the pinnacle in their field committed suicide. Why is there such a void? He came to the conclusion that God created us for something beyond what we can experience in the here and now. Solomon said, he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. In our hearts, we are aware that the here and now is not all there is. This is Solomon pondering. You know, he just had a big feast. Get all the women. He had all of the dancers and the singers. He had the best of food. And when the music stopped, he pondered the great void that he was feeling. You see, there are many lessons we can learn from Solomon. If we seek God with our whole heart, humble ourselves, y'all. The only way we could get to God is through humility and humbling ourselves. He'll be found. Second, those who honor God will be honored by him. We say, hey, if you take care of God, then he'll take care of yours. Third, God will equip us to accomplish the task he calls us to do if we rely on him. Wherever God guides, he also provides. Fourth, spiritual life is a marathon. It's a sprint. And Solomon realized that a good start is not always enough to finish well. That I played the record I did, don't it? Even the wisest man that ever lived did the foolish thing. He said, I'll quit. I'm in God. Don't start leaning to your own understanding. Don't let your heart begin to get wax cold. Fifth, we can surely ask God to incline our heart towards him, but we will wander off the path of righteousness if we choose to violate his revealed word. Solomon got off the path, y'all. The wisest man to ever live, got off the path. The man who had everything, more than any king before him, any king after him, and anybody today cannot compare to Solomon. You would think that those things would be enough. But here we get Solomon's words saying there's a void. And sixth, those closest to us will affect our spiritual lives, the wives that he got. And we must therefore be careful of the company we keep. Solomon speaks a lot of it in Proverbs. And seven, life lived apart from God will be meaningless, regardless of education, no matter how many goals you feel and reach, no much of the greatest pleasures of life or the greatest abundance of wealth can fill the void that God had put in us for him. Solomon summed it up and said, vanities of vanities, said the preacher. That's in Ecclesiastic 1 and 2. Vanity, vanity, said the preacher. Vanities of vanity is all vanity. He said, whatever you do without God, it's just straight up vanity. The Bible teaches us that only those things we do for Christ is going to last. Peter tells us everything that we know, touch, feel, eat, see, it's going to dissipate. It's going to be burnt away with a burning heat. We have to keep these things in mind, y'all, to understand the world that we are living in. So now I'm going to go to the verses, and we're going to hear Solomon speaking after me giving you a little bit about his past and his successes and his failures. I didn't talk about his successes as much. Solomon built the temple. The temple of God had been destroyed. David was laying in his bed, David, Solomon's father, and he was living in a big, nice house made of cedar. And he looked out, and back then, you know, they had the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant was in a tent. And they believed that God's presence was in the Ark. So in a sense, he was in his house looking at the tent, saw the Ark under there. He living in fine, luxurious surroundings, and God is in a tent. David said, oh, no, I got to fix this. And he went to his right-hand man. The man said, if you want to do it, do it. But God told his right-hand man, no, David can't do this for me. He said, David had too much blood on his hands. And besides the adultery affair with Bathsheba, he said, but I'm going to let Solomon build my temple. Solomon built the temple of God. Beautiful temple. Unbelievable. Magnificent. Solomon did that. Solomon did other things with the ruling of the people. He was very fair in the beginning. That's Solomon, y'all. So we're going to listen to Solomon's words. And I'm in one. I'm noticing the time. So I'll probably read the chapters, the verses, and expound on it so we could finish on time. So I'm in the 9th chapter, verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this. Solomon now, you know, he's pondering. He's filling a void. He's saying everything seems so mean. Everything seems so meanless. He said that the righteous, look what he said. He's pondering. He said the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth neither love or hatred by all that is before him. He said you can't even totally understand love and hatred. He said everything that happened is in God's hand. That's why the sovereignty of God is important for us to know. Solomon is speaking about that without saying the word. You see, he said man cannot know God's disposition by observing, since the same calamity strikes both the wicked and the righteous. So when we on earth now, plenty of people believe that because they love God, that they shouldn't have no calamity. Solomon said, I looked and it's going the good, the bad, and the ugly, is what he was saying. In verse 2, he said, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and the unclean, to him that sacrifice and to him that sacrifice not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that swears and he that fears an oath, those who lie and those who tell the truth, those who sacrificed and didn't sacrifice. That's like plenty of times people will say, Minister Diane, I pay my tithes, so why am I having so much financial difficulty? Solomon said it happened to those that sacrifice and those who don't sacrifice. See, we are the ones sacrificing. And the way we sacrifice ourselves unto God is by service. It's by serving and the people who serve God. It's going to have some calamities too, as well as the sinners. So get it. 3, this as an evil among all things. He said this is an evil. Evil, like I always say, is in this world. Evil is doing what evil does, and evil is pumping up the volume. Come on, y'all. He said there's evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event to all ye. Also, the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that, they go to the dead. Come on, y'all. Solomon said, you live and then you die. All of the things you do for Christ on the last. Christ has promised us eternal life. And after we leave this evil and wicked world, in the end we win. That's happened to all. Solomon's a thinker. And he has come to the end of his earthly wisdom. No smarter than when he began. He's saying we are like sheep and we need a shepherd. So if I look at the next verses, he says, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. A living dog still have life. A dead lion, it is over. And that's what he's saying. You know, a lion had prestige and was big and this, but not a lion has died. Huh. And a dog is still living. Solomon said that living dog is better than that dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Come on, y'all. That's why we have to find Jesus. And while the blood is running in our veins, when you're dead, there is no more. There's scriptures when Lazarus went to the rich man and the rich man wanted to touch his tongue because he was in hell. That great gulf between it was letting us know. That life and death does not intertwine. That's why plenty of people say, my mama came to me last night. You know, I saw this, I saw that. I'm not sure. It's never happened to me. But 7, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with merry heart. For God has now accepted your work. See, when you done, when you did, the work that you did is finished. And God has accepted it, if it's good or bad. So Solomon said, while you're living, you know, he encouraged us to do right towards God. But he said, eat and drink and be merry. God wants us to have a good life. Jesus said, I've come not to destroy, but I came to give you a life more abundantly. Enjoy your life. Tomorrow is not promised. And he goes on in 9, he said, live joyous with thy wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he has given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for what is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun, make it under the sun. He said, just enjoy yourself. Many times Christians want to put a blockage on people. You can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. When God, when they planted the grapes for the vine, the big vines, or however they did it, and they collected, God, I want you to get it, and I want you to be merry. I want you to have a good time. Jesus went to a wedding and made wine. There's some Christians that can make you think, if you're not all hum and hum, you're not. God wants us to enjoy the labor of our hands. He wants us to live the fullest. And God is not concerned if we got a lot of money. He's only concerned if we did not do right to get the money. Money is not evil. The love of money is evil. And if you love it so much, what would you do to get it comes the problem. So don't get it twisted until he comes up with saying, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whether thou goest. Anyone born of a woman is going to die. When you die, living in, y'all, all things betray to life is perished. Like people have said, oh, if your mama could see you now, she would be turning over in her grave. You think God will let somebody live on earth with all of these troubles and broken hearts and crying and tears and setback and heartache, and then die and get in the grave and have to turn over in the grave because they could have knowledge of what that child is doing? Think about it. All that has been done, and there is no more chance to change those things that has already happened. So live like to the first, like I said, while the blood is running warm in your veins, and you've got to put your focus straight. God is concerned with us here and now. But God's main concern that he allowed his son to die on the cross of Calvary to shed blood to cover our sins that we could have eternal life and be with him. He didn't like James say in the book of James is only a vapor. He said nothing that you do could add another cubit to your life. It's all in God's hands. And then he said in 11, I turn and saw unto the sun, the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to strong, neither that bread to the wise, which said, the fastest run, and I win the race. And all the wise people don't always have the bread, nor yet richest men of understanding, nor yet stable to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. This is 12. For man also knoweth not his time. Look what he's saying. You're human being. When God created us, he gave us a soul. And he has dominion over everything else that he created. But look what he said. He said, a man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken up in a net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the men snared in an evil time, and falleth suddenly upon him. Death. 13 says, this wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great to me. He said everything is by chance. What he said is by chance and by time and chance. You see, we must continue our journey and stay trust God, who has ordained, created us with a purpose, and designed our path. These scriptures give great circumstances concerning life in the view of man's standards. They saying it's so good. The people out here, the big time, the movie stars, the rock stars, everybody, you know, they live in their best life. That's man's standards. And for the world, they try to make sure that the world standards always win. But Solomon is letting us know that God is in control of man going in and coming out every second of every day. It's all by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus. Not some, but all. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Hallelujah, to give you an expected end. God's will be done. The strongest doesn't always win the battle. Fastest don't always win first. You know, when they get on TV and sometimes they have to say, this little man had cerebral palsy and he exercised his legs and he got in a race and nobody thought he would win and they blew the thing, and he was going slow, but oh, some kind of way he gained momentum, and he began to run faster and faster and faster, and he ran the race. He won the race because God is in control, y'all. Some of us can look at our life and can't understand how we made it when we not equivalent to the values that the world has put on us. Education, wealth, and things like that. But God has a purpose plan for us with an expected end. You see, in this life that we live here on earth, we must learn to take the bitter with the sweet, remembering that God is in control. If you trust him, if it come a little bitter, Thank you, Jesus. Not for the bitterness, but I know you're going to work it out together for my good. Come on, y'all. Yes, there will be some ups, and yes, there will be some downs. God either orchestrates or allows every circumstance that happens in our lives. And guess what? He may not come when you want it, but he's an on-time God. God works in his time frame, not yours. Hold on. Help is always on the way. And I want to let you know tonight, everything that happened in your life experiences, you know, when they say, oh, I was in a dysfunctional household. Oh, my daddy didn't treat me right. Oh, this and that. God uses all of your life experiences to create you to be who you are today. So where you thought it could have been hardship or the way to failure, it was a part of your success that you had to go through. He don't make mistakes. You see, everything that you are or not, and everything that you have and don't have, it's because of God. God is in control. And you got to always remember, regardless what happened to you in this earth, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, in the end, you win, and you will live eternity with God forever. They say in the book of Peter, Peter says, this world is a day to the Lord, and the day is a thousand years, and all of that. So if we're in the year 2000, this is what, 2 days to God, and yet it seems so long and so hard and so this and so that. You must understand God's master plan is not designed that everybody is going to have everything. But life happened to all of us according to time and change. But what God has for you, see, he had one body and there's many members and all are uniquely made, but watch this, for kingdom building. So yes, what God has for you, it's for you. Nobody can block it. Nobody can stop it. Nobody can take it. But I like to always say, but what service God has for you to do, it's for you to do too. Yes, it is. And that's just the way he planned it, y'all. So as I close tonight, I encourage you to just trust him. Then cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And remember, come to God humbly with a spirit of humility. And that's what activates God on your behalf. God, when God created us as a potter and took us in his hand, he promised to never let us go. And he is always working all things out together for our good. Trust him and live. And at this time, if we have any comments, questions, or concerns, you could press the one button on the phone. And it would be interesting to hear people tell their versions of how the sovereignty of God is really real. And God has a master plan for all of our lives. And that things happen to the good, the bad, and everybody. Solomon is letting us know that so we can stay strong. And it's never over till God says it's over. So where you at today has nothing to do with where you're going to be tomorrow. And God told us when he said there's nothing that can happen to you that is not common to man. You're not a long range ranger with the situation that you hit, you are in. I know many times people would feel like, why me? I'm the only person. You can't understand what I'm going through. Ain't nothing can happen to you that's not common to man. God loves us. He's our Heavenly Father, and we are His children. Anyone can press the one button. Call in your number. Your area code is 318-779. Your mic is open.
Hey, Sister Diane. How are you?
I'm fine,
I just wanted to tell you I really enjoyed the lesson, and I felt like when you was, you know, talking about that, you was talking about, you know, me. I mean, not talking about me, but talking to me, because, like, I'm really, like, going through stuff with my family and stuff, so I really related to the message that you gave on tonight, and I truly appreciate it, and God bless you and keep you.
Thank you so much, Sister Ariane. You know, thank you so much. People want what they want because that's the way we are. You know, we can look at some people that are handicapped and wonder why. And it's not because God loved them less or you so much better than them. It's just God's master plan. When he drew it on the canvas and he saw it, he knew how to place everybody in place. He knew how to have some good and some bad. How did you know what good is unless there was some bad? How could you know what healthy is unless there was sickness? You know, God has a great big canvas. And he, you know, did it that way because he could. Come on, y'all. God can do anything but fail. You know, some people question why they're black and the white people feel like they have so much inferiority over them. Because God made you black. And there will be no division in eternity. God didn't make no mistake, y'all. Anyone else? You can press the one button on your phone. If there's nothing else at this time, Sister Pam, I opened your mic, and you could come to us any way that God is leading you. Benediction tonight is coming from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the goodwill and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory belongs to him now and for that eternal day. Amen. Amen. God has everything situated in each and every one of our lives the way that he wanted situated. Our Creator. And as it said, we knew we were created for his glory. And through eternity, we'll be with him. That's our lesson for tonight. If it's God's will and your desire, we'll be back on next Wednesday at the same time. But until then, it is my prayer that everybody be blessed. And just continue to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. Trust God. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. And he'll bring you through your high valleys and your low valleys and your disappointments in life. It's not what you go through, it's who you go through it with. Good night. See you on next Wednesday. Be blessed.